Today, Shir's and Masechet Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the end of the line, with the words Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rabbi Chanina. We're continuing with various sicknesses that a person has on Shabbos, whether and in which way we're able to mechal Shabbos for that person. So the Gemara says, Malin Oznayim B'Shabbat. This refers to the Gidim, Rashi says, the Gidim Oznayim, that the sinews of the ear sometimes move downward out of position, and this causes the Lechiyayim, the jaws, to dislocate, and this is considered a Sakana. The person is considered a Chole Sheyesh by Sakana, and you're allowed to lift up the sinews of the ear that they get back in their right position, and therefore the jaws will not be affected. Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Biyad Avaloy Besam. We have the Gemara in Yuma, which says, that a chola machilu noisay akal kal tchila, that we give to a chola to eat on Shabbos, whatever the lesser isser is. The same argamor will be discussing what is the lesser isser that we can do to remedy the situation when we're being mechal Shabbos. Let's always look for, if there's a choice between an Issa Durabon or Issa Durais, for example, we'll go with an Issa Durabon. If there's a choice in Issa Durabon or no Issa whatsoever, then of course we'll go with no Issa whatsoever. So originally, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said that how are we mal does an Ayimba Shabbos biyad with the hand of a loibisam, but not with medication. Although this person is a chol sheish by sakana, but taking medication on Shabbos is an Issa Durabon. Gzeira mishum shchika samamonim, that a person will grind and be over toichen on Shabbos by grinding herbs for the purpose of making medications, and therefore the Rabbanan prohibited taking medications unless it's for a chol sheyesh b'sakana. So therefore one should relocate the sinews, the gidim, biyad, where l'chayru the person will not be doing an iser at all, as opposed to giving medication, because there you're over an iser Rabbanan. We're always looking to be over the least as possible. But ikad amri, some say the opposite. You should give besam. You should give a medication. Avaloi biyad. You should not do it by hand. My time, or why not? Because mizrif zorif, because inevitably, Rashi explains, you're oisa chabura, you're making a chabura, and making a chabura on Shabbos is an isser d'oraisa. Memel, if we have a choice between the isser of taking medication, which is only a gzeirim d'rabbonin, and making a chabura, which is an isser d'oraisa, we would rather, for this chola, even though he's a chola sheish b'sakana, we'll take the easier approach and give him medication and not be over the Isser Darais. Amarav Zutra Batov Yomarav, I in Shemorda, an I that rebel, which means, as Rashi explains, Sheroitz Alotzeis, Ka'odam Amarav V'yoitz, like a person who's rebelling against his master, a servant rebelling, a slave against his master, he wants to run away from the master, so too the eye is swollen, and there's a threat that it's going to burst out of its socket. So the halacha is, Mutter L'Kachlo B'Shabbos, you're allowed to anoint it on Shabbos. Sover Mine, Rav Zutra Batov, when he heard this din from Rav, he thought, Hani Mili, who the Shchike Samon in Miesmo. That's when the Samon were ground up from yesterday. So it's only a question of the Issa Durabon of giving medication on Shabbat. That you're allowed to do to save the eye. Avol Mishchak B'Shabbos. But to grind up the medication on Shabbos, which would be an Issa D'Araisa of Teichen, V'asuye Derech Rishus Ram, or to bring it through a Rishus Ram, which would be the Issa D'Araisa of carrying on Shabbos, of Aitzah, then Loi. You're not allowed to do that for the eye, because it's only a limb, it doesn't threaten the entire body, and therefore one would only be allowed to give medication and not be over any yisur d'oraisa. Amar le'ahu m'rabban Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, one of the rabbanon, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, said to Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, l'dim afar sh'minei d'Rav Yehuda, I heard from Rav Yehuda that a filim mishchak b'Shabbos, that for the eye it's mutter even to grind up the medication on Shabbos, the herbs to make the medication, v'asuyi derech rishus rabim, or to bring it through rishus rabim. Both of these are an issur d'oraisa. Mutter, it is mutter. What is the reason? As Rashi brings down from the Gemara, which we'll have in a few lines, because the eye is connected to the heart. The lashon of the Gemara is shuraine de'ena be'uvnisa de'libatalu. That Rashi, top Tosfos gives two pshatim. One is from Rashi, mor ha'ayin, that the light of the eye is totally in the uvnisa de'liba, which are the muscles of the heart. Or Tosfos says another pshat, that the sight of the eye is dependent on uvnus of the lib, means the understanding, the havana of the heart. But either way, there is a connection between the eye and the heart. Therefore, it's not just considered a problem of one aver, rather it affects the heart, it affects the entire person. And for the entire person, one is allowed even to be mechal Shabbos to do an iser de araisa. Continues the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, shor lemichla eina b'shabbos. Rav Yehuda, based on what we've just learned, he permitted anointing the eye on Shabbos. Amar lehu Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, when Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda heard this psak from Rav Yehuda, he said, man, Rashi's gear says, ditzayis li Yehuda, someone who will listen and be makabel the psak of Yehuda, of Rav Yehuda, machal Shabbos, he is being machal Shabbos. And as Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda did not agree with the psak of Rav Yehuda. L'soif chashav eina. At the end, it came out that Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda himself had a problem with his eye. Sholach lei, he sent a shaila to Rav Yehuda, shori, is this permitted to take the anointment on Shabbos? Or also, is it prohibited to take the anointment? So the Yaivitz in the back of the Gemara right away asks, and many of the Achronim here ask this question, what was the Shaila? What was Shmuel's Shaila? He knew that Rav Yehuda had Paskin Mutter. In fact, on that, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda had said, whoever listens to Rav Yehuda is being Mechal Shabbos. What was his Shaila now? Is it Mutter or Usser? And another question will be on the Psak of Rav Yehuda. Let us see the Psak. Shalach Lei. Rav Yehuda responded to the question of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. L'kuli Ami Shari. To everyone it's Mutter. L'didach Aser. To you it is Aser. Which the Yaivitz asked, Apella. What kind of Psak was this? Where do we find that a halach is dependent on the one who asks it? If it's Mutter, then it's Mutter to everybody. Why should it be Mutter to everybody and not Mutter to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda? Let us see the continuation of the Gemara, and then we'll see what the Yaivitz answers and what the Sefer Avodas Avodah answers. So Rav Yehuda continued and said, when you were arguing on me, do you think you were just arguing on me? You were arguing on Shmuel. V'chimididihu, is this my Psak? Demar Shmuel he. This is a Psak from Shmuel. Dahi, the Bach puts in the Dalit, Dahi, Amsa, there was this maid, Davi Bey Mar Shmuel, that was in the house of Mar Shmuel, the Kotchala Eino, her eye got inflamed, Bishabata, in Shabbos. Tzavcha, she cried, Velekad Ashbucha, no one cared about her, no one listened, because they thought that it's usher to treat the eye on Shabbos. Paka Eino, so in fact, her eye burst. Lamachar, the next day, Nafik Mar Shmuel, apparently Mar Shmuel had not been consulted by his B'nai Bayis on this Psak, and the next day, when he heard what happened, he went out, Vidorish and Barabim, he darshan in front of the whole Oilam, Ayin Shemorda, a rebellious eye. Mutter lekoichlo b'Shabbos, you're allowed to anoint it on Shabbos. My time, or what's the reason? Dishiraina de'ein abovnes of the libatoli. As we said before, tu pshatim Rashi and Taisus, the sight of the eye is dependent on the muscles of the heart, or the re'iyah, the seeing of the eye is dependent on the havana, the understanding of the discerning understanding of the heart, and therefore there's a connection between the eye and the heart, and it is considered a maka on the whole goof of a person, and you're allowed to do an issur d'rabbanan and an issur d'oraisa, you're allowed to do everything on Shabbos. Getting back to the two questions that we raised before, the Yaivitz suggests that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda was asking Rabbi Yehuda, is it mutter aser, meaning, do you still hold its mutter? Or perhaps you were chayzer and you hold now that it's aser. That's how he answers that question. And on the answer of Rabbi Yehuda, he says, obviously, it can't be mutter for everyone and aser only for Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and even if you want to say, says the Yaivitz, that it should be considered Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah, that when Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, whoever listens to Rav Yehuda's Mechal Shabbos, that's like accepting upon themselves an Isser, and therefore to remain Usser, says the Yaivitz, this was by mistake that he said it, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. And therefore, there would not be a din of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah. And therefore, he learns the Yaivitz that it was like a sharp retort to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. You're arguing on me. This I received from my Rebbe Shmuel. And therefore, I'm telling you, not the halacha is like this, but I'm telling you, based on what you said, that whoever listens to me is being Mechal Shabbos, it should be mutter to everybody else and usher to you. It would come out that this is a very sharp retort against Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and it's a little, one could question the other teretz of the Yavetz. Why did he think that Rav Yehuda should now feel it's usher if he said before it's mutter? So there's a pshat from the Avoidus Avoid, a very beautiful pshat to answer the kashas of the Yavetz. He learns the Gemara differently than the Pashu pshat, but if we learn this new way, all the kashas are answered. What the Avoidus Avoidus says, that what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was asking from Yehuda is, Shalach Lei Shari or Usser. He was asking this Shaila, is there a din of Shavi Anav Shechaticha the Yisuri here or not? The halacha is that if a Rav Paskin something is Usser, and later he realizes based on Svorah that he made a mistake, and he's Mekabel the Svorah of someone else that it's Mutter, the halacha is that he can Paskin now for everyone else it's Mutter, but for himself, it blib Shavi Anav Shechaticha the Yisuri, it's Usser. But that is only if it was a thing that was telling Svorah. But if there was a Yediyah that he did not know, and had he known that Yediyah, he would not have paskened le'isser. Then there's no halach of Shavi Anav Shechaticha le'isser, and then he himself can use that heter. So that was the shaila that Avodah Savoda learns in Rav Shmuel's question. Shori or Oyosser, is there a din of Shavi Anav Shechaticha le'isser here or not? And Shalach Lei, he responded to him. And here is where the Avodah Savodah changes Pshat in the Gemara. He learns the Gemara now, B'loshim Bitmiya. What are you asking me? L'kuli almi shori lididach usher? Are you asking me that it should be mutter for everybody else, but to you it should be usher? Why? Because of Shavi Anav Shechaticha Lisura? But v'chimi didihu? Was this a svora of mine, which you disagreed with the svora, and then there would be a halach of Shavi Anav Shechaticha Lisura? No. D'mar Shmuli. This was a Kabbalah that I had from Shmuel. And had you known that this was a Kabbalah from Shmuel, definitely you would not have passed against Shmuel, and you would have accepted the Psak of Shmuel. Therefore, your Shavi Chanav Shechaticha Sura is based on a toast. When it's based on a toast like that, of a lack of Yediyah, there is no din of Shavi Chanav Shechaticha Sura. And in fact, not only is it mutter to everyone, it's mutter to you as well. So, learns the Avodah Savodah, a beautiful Pshat in the Gemara, which answers all the kashas that the Yavetz raised. Continues the Gemara, going my, when do we say that a illness of the eye is considered a sakana, that one would be mechal Shabbos, the rice, the rabbonin, whatever is necessary, because this is considered a choyle sheish by sakana of his whole guf, on Rabbi Yehuda, going rira. One example is, for example, if there's excessive discharge in the eye, or ditza, there is a stabbing pain. Damar is blood in the eye. Demasar is excessive tears in the eye. Vekitcha, and there is an inflammation of the eye. But all this is only a tchilasuchl. It's only if it's at the beginning where there is severe pain. Lafuke saifuchl, if it's at the end of the illness, where there's only a mild pain. For that to be over on an iser deraisa, to save the slight pain that a person still has, on that, we would not be mutter. And also, what not, would not be mutter, the Gemara says, Ptsuche Eino, Rashi learns, Shabal Lekoichle wants to anoint the eye, Kedei Lehoir Maris Einoi, in order to make his vision even better. He can see. He doesn't have a stabbing pain. He can see. But he wants to use the anointment to improve his sight. That is forbidden on Shabbos. Ptsuche Eino, both of these, Deloy, the halacha is that he would not be allowed to. Amar Rav Yehuda, the following items, if one has it and one goes to the bathhouse, he's putting his life in danger. What are they? Zibura, a hornet sting. Udecharze silo. Silo is a thorn. And the charze, Rashi says, means that his buster was pierced. And it comes from the Lashon that we have in Eilu Metzias, Machroize Sheldagim, where you have a string of fish that are tied together, and there is a string that goes through each of the fish because the fish have been pierced so that the string should go through. So the Charzi Sula means that a kites, a thorn, pierced this person, the Samta, or a person has a blister in his, it has a blister, Udechoev Le'ena, his eye is hurting him, the Osi Ilave Isha, and in all of these instances, he came on him a fever. Kula Bebani. All of these, if someone goes to the bathhouse, Rashi, third line from the bottom of the Yom, it says, Nichnas Bemerchetz Ba'achas Mikolayla Sakantahi. This is considered a sakana, and one should not do this.
The Gemara now discusses cures that are similar in name to the ailments that they are curing. The first one is chama lechama. And Rashi says that chama is a tznon, a radish. The Hagos Marav Runshberg tells us that Rashi found this in the Orach. There the word chama is spelled with an aleph, but it sounds similar to chama, to a fever. Now, a radish is something that chills the body, and therefore it is good for someone who has a fever to cool him off. However, it should not be used, as we will soon see, for someone who's suffering from chills, because since it cools the body off, it would make the person suffering from chills even colder. Continues the Gemara, Vesilka, Rashi's trodden, that is, beets heats the body, and therefore it is good. Our gears from the Gemara is litzina, to someone who is suffering from chills. And Rashi's girsa, as the Mesor Sashas points out in Ois Zayin, is zika, that is good for someone who is suffering from chills that are caused by a wind, by drafts. So according to Rashi, the similarity in the cure to the illness is silka and zika, sounds very similar. But the Gemara warns, v'chilufa sakanta, the opposite. If one were to use the radish for someone who has chills, that would be no good, as we explained before, because radish chills the body even more. Or beets, which heats the body, should not be given to someone who has chama, who has fever, because beets would heat the body even more, and then it would be a sakana. Continues the Gemara, chamimi la'akraba, hot compresses should be put on someone who had a scorpion's bite, ukriri, and a cold compress should be put on lizibur, to someone who had a hornet's sting. V'chilufa sakanta, and if one reverses and puts on chamimi to zibur and kriri to akraba, that would be a sakanta, would be a sakana. Chamimi lisilu, warm, hot water should be put on someone who has a prick through a thorn. And Rashi points out, the bottom Rashi on the Amid, that this does not mean it should be put on the whole body, because as we've learned earlier in the Gemara, that someone who was pierced with a thorn going to a bath and taking a bath is in fact a sakana. So Rashi explains, because there he is first of all suffering from fever, and he's putting his whole body into the bath waters, and therefore his whole body would become overheated. Mashenkin over here, it is just putting hot water on the place of the prick by the thorn. Continues the Gemara, ukriri, and cold water should be put, as we turn to the Chav Tas Amad Aleph, l'chaspanisa, for facial scabs, as Rashi says, stokin shebifnei ha'adam. V'chilufa, if somebody reverses it and puts the hot on the scabs and the cold on the thorn, then it will be a sakanta, it will be a sakana. Chala, vinegar, is used right after someone does lesiburi. He does hakazas dam, bloodletting. Rashi in the second line tells us that the main hakazas dam is mikasafayim, from the shoulder. Umunini and small fish are good latanisa after someone is fasting. Vechilufa sakanta, doing the reverse, using small fish after hakazas dam and vinegar after atinus is a sakana. Tachle visibura sakanta. Now we go into various things that are not good when one does hakazas dam, bloodletting. If somebody eats cress before the bloodletting, that is a sakana. Ishta visibura sakanta. If somebody's bloodletting while he has a fever, that likewise is a sakana. Koyiv eina visibura sakanta. If someone is doing hakazas dam while he has a problem with his eye, that is also dangerous. Sheni ledag dum. The day after one eats fish, then he could do hakazas dam. In other words, he can eat fish a day before hakazas dam. Sheni ledam dog. A day after he did hakazas dam, he can eat fish. So it comes out that one can eat fish either a day before hakazas dam or a day after. One should not eat fish on the day of Akazas Dam. And then the Gemara continues also, Shlishi Loi Sakanta, the third day, in other words, 2 days after the day in which he did Akazas Dam to eat fish, that is a Sakana, only 2 days, not 3 days. Only the day after and not 2 days after. Tana Rabbana, we learned Tana Braisa, Hamekes Dam, a person who lets out blood, bloodletting, Lo Yoichel, should not eat the following four items, which we have an acronym of Chagvash. What does it stand for? Like Cholov, he shouldn't drink milk. Like Vina, not cheese. Like Betzolim, not onions. The Rabbeinu Chananel has Veloy Beitzim, Beim, eggs. And so we find the Gemara in the Dorm, Daf Nun Dalet Omid Beis. Veloy Shochalayim, and not cress. All of these things do not give a person who has just let out blood enough nourishment, or in fact they're difficult to digest, and therefore it is not recommended for a person who has let out blood. Imach, what happens if he ate these things? Amar Abaya, Nasi Revias, you should take a quarter of a lug de chal of vinegar, Revias, a quarter of a lug de chamar of wine, Vinavinu Bahariadari, you should mix them up together, Vinishti, you should drink them, Vichi Mifna, when he defecates, when he relieves himself, like Mifna Elam Mizrach Shalir, you should go to the eastern part of the city, Mishum de Kasher Reichel, because there is a very bad odor once he has done this process, and as Rashi brings down, that just like we find the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Chav Hey, that we do not do a tannery to the eastern part of the city, to the western part. We only do it on the eastern part because as Rashi brings from the Gemara there in Bava Basra, the easterly wind is the weakest of the winds. The westerly wind is a very strong wind, and therefore, were he to make a tannery to the west side of the city, the westerly wind would bring the very bad odor from the tannery into the city, and therefore, one can only ein oisemburski elolim is rachshel. Only to the eastern part. He also, Rashi brings the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem, that someone should not sleep to the east of his granary. If he does, Dami Baroishai, he is considered as if he is endangering himself. It's a sakana. Why? Because if he is on the easterly part of his granary, that means that towards him is coming a westerly wind. And the westerly wind will bring the pieces of the straw from the granary, and that will be dangerous for him while he is sleeping. So we see that the westerly wind is a dangerous wind, and therefore this ruach that the person will be causing after he has gone through the process of argamora, he should not do it to the western part, he should only do it towards the eastern part of the city. Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Malin Avankale B'Shabbos. We're allowed to raise the avankli on Shabbos of a person. My avankli, what is avankli? Amar Rabbaba. Rabbaba said that it is istumcha deliba. And on this Rashi gives two pshatim. Either it is the muscle of the heart, of the wall of the muscle that's below the heart, or Rashi says that it's nivla, which is a lobe that is opposite of the heart. And there's a danger if the muscle is dislocated that this will hurt a person from breathing properly. It's considered a sakana, and therefore one is allowed on Shabbos to raise it up. Mayasu. So what is the remedy for this? So the Gemara says now he has to bring a number of herbs together. Maisi kamoina karvaya. He brings a ladleful of cumin, vininya and mint, va'agdono and asafetida, vitsisri and savory, Vavdasa and hyssop grass. He takes all these herbs together and then he mixes it with a liquid. Depending on what his ailment is, that's the liquid that he mixes it with. Lily, but if he has a problem with his heart, then Bechamri mixes it with wine. Visimonach, and a way to remember this remedy is the Pasuk V'yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. That wine makes joy a person's heart. So we see a relationship between wine and heart. So when you want to use these herbs for a heart ailment, mix it with wine. Lerucha b'mayo. If he is suffering from a problem of wind, in other words, he's wasting away because of the wind, and this might refer to asthma, then he should mix these herbs with water. V'simonach, and your siman is v'ruach elokim rechavos al pnei hamayim, that the ruach of Hashem was hovering over the surface of the water. So we see a connection between ruach, wind, and a breathing problem. And water. Likudo, which Rashi explains, is a choli isha yoledetzim, it's tandanis ala mishbar. While she's giving birth, she gets chills. So on that, you mix these herbs, b'shikra, with beer. V'simonech. And the simon for this is a pasuk by Rivka, v'kadashich, but that her jug was on her shoulder. How is this a remez? How is this a way to remember? Because kuda is the ailment, and here you have the word kada. And then you mix it with beer, shichra, and the first two letters of the word shichma is the shin chaf. So this reminds you that this is a ailment that affects women, like Rivka was a woman, and this is not, an ailment that happens during childbirth, and on that you will use the shichra, shichma, the beer with these herbs, and that will help this woman with her chills. Rav Acha b'Reid Rava shachik l'hu l'kula b'hari adari. Rav Acha b'Reid Rava, how did he prepare this medication? He would grind up all these herbs together. V'shakale moli chamish, that's what I say, would take a fistful, five fingers full. V'shasile would mix it with the liquid that was going to remedy that specific ailment, as the Gemara has just enumerated on, and he would drink it all together. Ravashi shachik kolchad v'chad l'chudei. He would take each herb and grind each herb up individually. V'shakal, then he would take from each herb mole etzboi, rabasei mole etzboi zutrasi, his large finger, as Rashi explained, would take the thumb, and his small finger, his middle finger. He would take a pinch of the herb, and then of each herb, and then mix it with its correct liquid. Amar Rav Papa, no avdi l'chol hani, I did all these remedies, v'lo yistatzai, and when I had a problem, I did not get cured. Ad omli ahutai, until this merchant, which Rashi on Chav Chesom Ralph told us was a Yishmol, an Arab merchant, I see, he told me, bring kuzucharita. Kuzu, Rashi says, is a small kli cotton, a small vessel, a new one, umal yamaya, fill it up with water, verami bay tarvit the dufsha, and fill it with a spoonful of honey, detali la bay kuchve, that this honey was outside. Rashi says, tachas ha-kechav b'chotzer shabayis, in the courtyard of the house, it was under the stars overnight, or the Masoras HaShas brings down, girsa shaloi b'bayis. It's not in the house, it has to remain outside of the house. Ulamachar ishti, afterwards, tomorrow, drink it. Avdi hoch, I did what the Arab told me to do, v'islasai, and then I got cured. Perhaps this is being told to us as we learned from the Maril in yesterday's shir, brought down by Rabbi Kiva Eger, that the medicines that Chazal told us work, but we might not understand exactly how they work based on what is written in the Gemara, and we find that even Rapapa was unable to understand exactly how they work. He had to take a remedy from the Arab merchant, and therefore we're not supposed to use remedies of Chazal, because if they don't work, we will think that there's something wrong with what Chazal said. This will cause us to have a lessening of emunah in Chazal, and therefore the Maril tells us that we should not use those medications. Although, if we would know how they work, what Chazal exactly were saying, they would in fact work even till today. Other referendums say that there's nishtana teva, we live in a different climate, a different time, and therefore the medications of Chazal, in fact, will not work today. They could even be detrimental. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in Abraisa, she should form a rapin esacholya, cholya micholya. There are six things that cure a person, a sick person from his sickness, urufuasin, and their cure, refuah, they are refuah, meaning it's a permanent refuah, veilahain, and these are the six items, kruv cabbage, trodden, and beets, umay sisin yvesha. Rashi says, Demesisin is puliol, and we refer to it as pennyroyal. So we are to take, Rashi explains to us, the water of dry pennyroyal. We're supposed to soak it in water and then drink it after we soaked it in water. Umei sisin yvesha, the kevas, and the one of the stomachs of an animal, which is referred to as the maw, the heres, and the womb of an animal, yaseres hakoved, and the diaphragm, Rashi calls it tarpisha dekavda, it's a lobe on the liver, v'yeshar m'afdak m'tanim, even small fish, v'lo yoydel shadak m'tanim m'farn m'rabin, kol gufit shol adam, they cause a person to multiply and be fruitful, and in other sources, the word is not m'rabin, but m'varin, they bring cure to the entire body of a person. And just like there are six things that help a person, asorat vorm, there are 10 things that machzir nesachol chayyud, which will bring the chayyud back to a sickness with chayyud kasha. And he even gets sicker more than he was before. Elu, and these are they. And if we look at this list, it would seem that there are only 9, but we will soon see that 2 are divided up to make 10. The first 2, ha'oichel basar shor shuman. So simply it would seem that one eats the meat of an ox, which is fat. However, the Bach puts in the word basar shuman, so he is dividing up that there is basar shor. There's a separate category, basar shuman. The Mesoras HaShas, in order to make the number of 10 in this list, says that leave it as shuman, but shuman doesn't refer to a fat ox meat, but rather it refers either to chelif tor of an animal, or shuman of birds and fish. So shuman is fat. It's in its own category. It has nothing to do necessarily with ox meat. And if we divide these first two up, we in fact have a list of 10. Basar tzli, roasted meat. Basar tzipor, poultry. Ubei tzluya, and roasted egg. Vishachlam, and cress. Vitaglachas, shaving the entire body. Umerchats, and a bath. Vigvina, and cheese. Vikovet, and liver. Even nuts, even cucumbers. And why are they called kshuin? They are difficult to a person as are swords. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Brachos that this refers only to large ones, but small ones, in fact, are beneficial. And now the Gemara returns to the next part, the last part of the mission, which we began on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ein Mistapin Mehen Bechol Makom. We are not allowed to let an Akum give us a haircut any place. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Divrei Rab Meir, the Mishnah concludes. The Chachamim remember Rishus HaRabim Mutter, Avaloi Bein El Beinoi. The Chachamim say that Rishus HaRabim, it's Mutter to take a haircut from a Goy, because there are people there constantly, and the Goy will be afraid to harm the Jew. But one should not do it between him and the Goy, then it is usur. What exactly Beinoi L'Beinoi means, we will see as we learn the sugya. In this next coming Gemara concerning haircuts from a Goy, we find 3 major machlokas between the Rishonim. Let us first learn the Pashur Pshat in the Gemara, and then we will see what the 3 shitas of the 3 areas of machlokas in the Rishonim are. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brice, Yisrael HaMistapur Ma'ivik Chavim, a Yisrael who is taking a haircut from a Goy, Roya Bimara, he should look at his haircut with a mirror. Rashi says the word Mara is mirdur, similar to our word mirror. In those days, normally barbers would not show the haircut in a mirror to the person getting the haircut, not like the custom is today. Today it's a common thing for the barber to, at the end of his haircut, to show the customer how beautiful his haircut is. In those days, they did not do it. And therefore, if a Yisrael is getting a haircut from a Goy, he should insist that he wants to see it in a Mara. How this will help him from getting killed by the Oyvik Chavim, we will see in a few lines in the Gemara. The Oyvik Chavim stopping Yisrael, a Goy is getting a haircut from a Jew, Kivin Shigil Blu Risoy. Once the Jew comes to the blurius of the Goy, this is hair which Rashi says was grown 40 avodah zara, and we have a Rashi in Masech the Saita on Daf Mem Tesam Abayz, the last Amud of the Masech the Saita, which says that a person can get a kind of a haircut where he shaves the front, umniach blurius machayrev, and in the back he leaves over a lock of hair. Vizem adivrei hamari. This is Rashi says darkei hamari shehem anichem blurius l'shem avos kachavim. They leave over a blurius. We call blurius a chup. It's like perhaps like a ponytail in the back. His whole head is shaven. In the back, he leaves over for the goy a blurius. So our Gemara says that kivin shegila blu rasai. When the Jewish barber gets near to the blurius of the goy, he doesn't want to fix up that blurius because that would be aiding the avodah zarah. The halacha is shayman es yad. He has to remove his hand. The Gemara will soon tell us how close to the blurius can he go. Amar Mar, we learned before. Yisrael mistapur me'avik chavim. Yisrael that's getting a haircut from a goy. Roy b'mar, he looks in a mirror. Hey chidomi, what's the case? Ibrishus harabim, if it's in rishus harabim, and l'chayr we paschal like the chachamim that rishus harabim. It's mutter l'mali mara. What do you have? Need a mirror. Since there are people constantly in Rosh Hashanah, we're not worried that the Goy will kill the Jew, and therefore the Jew should be able to take a haircut from a Goy even without a mirror. Speaking about Rosh Hashanah, even if he looks in a mirror, how's it going to help him? There's still a danger that the Goy, not being afraid of anybody seeing him kill the Jew, that'll kill the Jew. So the Gemara answers, "Why Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Really, this halacha was said in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And what does it help looking in a mirror? The Kivan de Ika Mara, since there's a mirror. Mirror, Mischazik Kodem Chashav, since he's always looking in the mirror to see how perfectly the haircut is being done, so the barber will think that this person must be a very important person. He's so careful how his haircut is going to come out, and he's always looking in the mirror. I better not kill him, because as we've seen in the Gemara before, that an Adam Chashev, a goy, doesn't want to kill either, because he's afraid of getting in trouble with the authorities. So it comes out that the mirror is a protection for the Jew who's taking the haircut. So here we have the first machloikas rishonim in the sugya. If we look in Tosfos Divrei Maskil HaMestaper Ma'avichavim, the long Tosfos, the last one on the Amud, so Tosfos brings a raya from the Yerushalmi, and he says around the 7-8 lines down the Tosfos, Mashma she'asul ish liris b'mara. The Tosfos says that l'chayra, it would seem from the Yerushalmi that it's usher for a man, a Jewish man, to look in a mirror. And if we look in the middle of the Tosfos, Tosfos brings down that Gimel Dvar Matiru LeBeis Rebbe, Sheyuroyin B'Mara, they should be able to look in a mirror. Only Beis Rebbe got this Heter. V'Shiyu Mesaprim Koimi, they were able to get this Goyishe haircut. That seems to be the one that we discussed from the Gemara in Saita Mem Tesem Abeis, that they leave a blurious in the back. U'Sheyalamdu L'Bneim Chachmas Yavin, even though there was an Isser to teach children the Greek wisdom, Greek knowledge, they were able to learn it. Why? With their children. Sheheim's Kuglamach, since they had many dealings with the government, therefore they were given these three aterim, a special dispensation. It is Doch Mashma, Tais Medayik, that for any other man, it would be usser. It's only mutter for a woman. And Tosfos before, at the beginning of the Tosfos, says Venira Kiatam. What's the reason why it's awesome? Mishum La Yobish Gever Simlasish, the Matargum. The Targum says on that pasuk, Lo Yisakin Gever B'Tikuni Itza. A man should not use the methods of a woman, what she uses to beautify herself. And that's why Tosfos says that it's only usher when a man will use it to beautify himself. It continues Tosfos around 10 lines from the end of Tosfos, Umiyu. Einoi usher kiyim lisnais, to avar mishum liyabush gever, aval listapir, ulegaleach, viliris bimara, shleichabal ba'atzmoy, amishum michi sheinayim, vade mutter. If the person is using a mirror for any other purpose but cosmetic, then it's mutter. If he does a cosmetic, then it's also because he's doing the same like a woman who uses a mirror for beauty and for cosmetic purposes. But if he's using it because he's taking a haircut, a shave, and he doesn't want to hurt himself, or he's looking in the mirror to see a problem that he has in his eye, or like our Gemara, that he should look like an Adam Chashev, and that the goy shouldn't kill him. So in all those cases, it's mutter. So that's how Tosfos answers the kasha: how could a mara be mutter in our Gemara? It's also for a man to look at a mara. The Teretz says here he's doing it in order to protect his life, and there it's mutter. And then Tosfos says four important words: uboichen libois hu yodea. Hashem, who's able to check our hearts, he knows what your intention is, whether you're doing it l'shem shemayim or you're doing it for lisnois, which would be usser. On this, the Run and other Rishonim say that a man is allowed to use a mirror if it's in a place where men use mirrors just like women do. If a person is living in such a place, then there is no Isser of Leilbish Gever, because it's something that has become used by both men and women. And this Tosfos and the Run are both brought down in Halacha in Simen Kuf Nun Vav in Yoredeya. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chana bar Bizna, having a sapper ma'avikachav b'shul Nardar. Rav Chana bar Bizna was taking a haircut from a goy in the roads outside of Nardar. Rashi says chutz la'ir. Now these were roads where it was not like a rishus rab in Nardar, in the city, where people were there constantly, but rather frequently there were passers-by. However, there were times where there was no one there. And what happened when he was taking this haircut in this barber shop? Omar Lay, the barber, said to Rav Chana, 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 yoy, kuyach, lezuga. Your throat is appropriate for my razor. Now, normally zuga would be translated scissors. However, if we look at the bottom of that long Tosfos, we see that Tosfos says, the third line from the bottom, V'dafke betar, the shchich be'ezeka be'kal, avam esperayim lo shchich bu'ezeka shori im yeshim re'achar. So Tosfos says that it's only usher to get a haircut from a goy in a place where he could kill the Jew, let's say in a place, perhaps Shvili Nardor will go into this category, we'll soon see this as we go through the Gemara, but wherever it's usher to get a haircut because the goy might kill the Jew, Taisa says it's only usher with a razor. So that's why we're explaining that it must be Zuga here means, Taisa's learning, Zuga means a target. If it was a scissors, where it's not usual to have a hezek, there, L'chaira, it would be mutter, although Taisa adds a caveat, imyesh imoyach, if somebody else is there. But let us learn b'pashtus that it means a razor, and he was threatening to kill Chan Omar. So Rav Chana said, tasily, it's coming to me. The Avriyata Rameir was over Rameir. Rameir said you shouldn't get a haircut from a goy anywhere, and I went ahead and did it here in the Shulin Nardor. So it's coming to me, this threat. Frey the Gemara, he only had a problem with Rameir. Vada Rabbanan Loyover, he wasn't over on the words of the Rabbanan. Aimed the Amr Rabbanan Rishus Rabban. When were the Rabbanan Matur? They were only Matur Rishus Rabban. But Rishus Yachad Miyamr. The Rabbanan said, Bein Noi Le Bein Noi is Usr. And Rishus Yachad, they never said it. They agreed to Rameir that it's Usr. Zvehu Savar, what in fact did Rav Chana hold that he only felt he was over on Rameir, but the Rabbanan would have been Maturit? He held that Shvili the Nardok, even the Shricha Rabban Rishus Rabban Dami, that Shvili the Nardok, since there are Rabban, they are there frequently, it has a halacha of Rishus HaRabban. Now we come to the second Machloikas Rishonim in the Sugya, and that is, was Rav Chana correct in his pshat in the Rabbanan? Does Shvili Nardo in fact have a din of Rishus HaRabim or not? So from the Lashon of the Gemara, Vehusover, he held, is Mashma that he was wrong. That really Shvili Nardo have a din of Rishus HaYachid. He held it at a din of Rishus HaRabim. And so learns the second Tosfos on our Amid, Divrei Maskil Avil, which is really the Masoret Shas says is going on our mission on Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. That's where this Tosfos should be, to explain to Rabbanan, who said, Avaloi Lebeinu Lebeinu, let's read it inside, Pirish, B'makim She'ein Regilim Bnei Adam Korach. They're not so frequent. They're not constantly there, like in a Rishus HaRab. Ki Ahid Rav Chana B'Shvili Nardo. This refers to the case we're learning now about Rav Chana B'Shvili Nardo. Avol B'Yichud Mamish, if Bnei Lebeinu would mean that it's just two people, the goy and the Jew, in a house someplace, nobody's around, lo yitzrich. So you don't have to say it's usher because of you taking a haircut and the goy might kill you with the razor. The typically af beloy mistaper usher li yisiachri mem mishum shvichas dam. There's an isser always that a person should not be alone with a goy in biyichidus with an oivet avodah zarah because we're afraid he's going to kill the Jew. So why do we have to have the whole union of a haircut? Even without a haircut. Elamai, Beinoi Lebeinoi doesn't mean one-on-one. Beinoi Lebeinoi means that it is in a somewhat public place. It's in like the Shvili Nardoi. But the thing is that sometimes nobody is around because people frequent there, but they're not always there. They're not like a Rishus Ram where they're there constantly. So, Vehu Savar, Rav Chana held that that has a din of Rishus Ram. In fact, Tosfos is learning that Rav Chana made a mistake and has a din of a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore really it was Usr. That's the sheet of Tosfos. I have it Gra in Yoredeya, there in Sif Kot Nun Aleph, Ignun, in Sif Kot Nun Vav, and in the Gra, Sif Kot Nun Aleph, the Gra learns not like that. The Gra learns that, in fact, Rav Chana was learning the correct pshat in the Rabbanan. And L'chaira will have to say, so according to the Gra, which is the case of Bein Elabeinoi, Tosfos has already said that it can't be one-on-one mamish, because that's also even without a haircut, biyichidus, because perhaps the person will get killed from the goy. So L'chaira will have to say that, according to the Gra, there are four levels, the two extremes and two in the middle. The one extreme is Rishus HaRabim, according to Rabban, and that is Mutter. Rameir says it's Usr all over. But according to Rabban, that's Mutter. It's constant presence of people there. You don't have to worry about getting killed. The opposite is Bein Elabeinu, meaning, more than Bein Elabeinu, it means Yechidus. Usr is Yachid. It's one-on-one. Nobody else is around in a house, an apartment, someplace where no one's around. That's Usr according to Likuli Alma. Then in the middle, we have two levels. We'll have Shvili Dinardoi, which are not constant like a Rishus HaRabim, but is very frequent. Very frequent, the Gra is learning that Rav Chana was correct, that very frequent has a din, Shchichei Rabim is the Lashon of Rav Chana. Even the Shchiche Rabban Kishuz Rabban Dami. It's frequent. It's not constant, but their people are going back and forth frequently. That has a din like Rishus Rabban, that according to Rabban, it's mutter. And when will it be Beina Lebeinoi? We'll have to say when it's going back and forth infrequently. If it's such a road where it's Loishchiche Rabban, it's not Mamish b'yichidus, it's not an isser of osser liyisyached. Sometimes people go by, but they only go by infrequently. Infrequently, that will have a din of rishus ayochid. That will be, that's how to grow. We'll learn avaloi beinoi lebeinoi. And finally, we have a shaila. Who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rav Meir, or do we paskin like the Rabbanan? So on this Tosfos, at the bottom of the long Tosfos, seven lines from the bottom, it says, V'alocha l'maisa, the osser l'stapra ma'ev v'chom, elim k'in roi b'marit, the bach putzin, v'afil v'shus rabbim. So Tosfos learns that if it's in, even in a Rishus Rabban, it's only mutter with a mirror. You need a Rishus Rabban and a mirror. Because we see that Rav Chana said, it's coming to me because I was over under Rav Meir. So Tosfos is learning that Rav Chana was passing like the Rav Meir against the Rabbanan, that even Rishus Rabban, it's usher unless the person has with it a mirror as well. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, Perek, Yud Beis, Halach, Yud Aleph, says that although Rav Chana Bar Bizna was saying, it's coming to me because I should have listened to Rav Meir, that was a chumra on Rav Chana Bar Bizna's part, but we paskin like the Chachamim, that Rishus Rabban, it is mutter. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Bryce that we mentioned before. He removes his hand that he shouldn't fix the blurries. V'kama, Amar of Malkia, Amar of Adabar Abba, Shloisha etzpois to chol ruach ruach, three etzpois to every direction,
three fingers in width,
away from the blurries in each direction. He has to stop. Otherwise, it's considered that he's fixing the blurries, which was a hair growth for the Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Chanina Bered Rav Ika. Now we're going to mention six different halachas. Some of them were said by Rav Malkiya Yudvav at the end of his name. And some of them, three of them were said by Rav Malkiya, and three of them were said by Rav Malkiya with a Yud and a Hey at the end of his name. And what are they? Amar Rav Chanina Bered Rav Ika, Shpud. The case of Shpud in Beya, Davchav Chesam in Beit, where a meat that was roasted on Shabbat, on Yontif, and the spit got became Muktzah Machmas Mios because of the roasting. So the halacha is that Rav Malkiya says in the name of Rav Adabar Ava that you can move it in a shinui on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's mukt shvachais. This is Nageya, the Gemara in Ksubis, a mission in Ksubis on Daf Nun Tesamid Beis, where the Gemara says if somebody has four, a wife comes in with four maidservants, she has nothing to do. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, even if she brings in 100 maidservants, she still has to busy herself. She still has to do some of the household things, because if somebody does nothing, it brings a person, L'day Shimon, brings a person to do Aveirois. And there again, Rav Malkiya, with Yud Vav at the end of his name, the name of Rav Rav Paskins, that loch is like Rabbi Eliezer. Vigumois, this is a Gemara needed of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that if someone has two pubic hairs, that's a sign that there are a guttle. And Rav Malkiya says in the name of Rav Adabar Abba that even if there's only holes and where the hairs should have been and there's no hairs, the person will be considered a guttle because we assume that the hairs fell out. So those were said by Rav Malkiya Yudvav. But blurius, which is our sugya over here, how far you have to go away from the blurius, the Jewish barber. Afer Mikla, which Rashi explains, is a Gemara which tells us in Masechta Makis that a person should not put an Afer Mikla on his makkah because it looks like a tattoo. Afer Mikla is the ashes from an oven, which is black and burnt. And if you put that on the makkah, it leaves a mark looking like a tattoo, and therefore it is usser. Ugvina, which we're going to learn in this perek, that there's an isser of gvinas akum. And the reason is, we learn on Daflam and Hamid Beis, Mnei Shemachlikin Paneh B'Shumad Chazir. There are many reasons in the Gemara, and the one that Rav Malkiya, with a Yud Hey, said in the name of Rav Adabar Abba, is because they smear the face of the cheese with chazir. So those three halachas, Glorious, Afer Mikla, and Gvina were said by Rav Malkiya Yudhei. Amar Rav Papa attributed the three halachas in a different way. Amra Papa, Mas Nisan, if you have a Mishnu Mas Nita or a Brisa, that there are three halachas that are Negea, Mishnah or Brisa, that's Rav Malkiyah Yudhei. Shmaitza, if you have a saying of the Amaroyim, that's not totally on a Mishnah or Brisa, it's an independent saying of the Amaroyim. That was said by Rav Malkiyah Yudvav. Visimna, how do I know which ones were said by Rav Malkiyah? Masnitov, you have a statement of the Tanoim, either in a Mishnah or a Brisa. Malkis, that's a queen. Because when you want to ask a question on a Moira, you're going to ask him for either a Mishnah or a Brisa. So that has a din of a queen, a feminine, and Rashi explains, and Rav Malkiyah is the feminine of Melech. So that will remind you of the statements of Tanoim and Amoraim, which is a queen in this Talmudic discussion. My Benayu, what nafkamina is there between the way Rav Chanina brought down the three and three and the way Rav Papa brought down the three and three? Ikke Benayu Shvachas. The difference is Shvachas. Because Shvachas is on a Mishnah in Ksubas. So according to the first Mahalach of Rav Chanina, Shvachos was together with Shput and Gumois. However, that Rav Malkiyah with a Yudvav said it. However, according to Rav Papa, since Shvachos is pertaining to a Mishnah in Ksubis, then really Shvachos should go together with Blurius, which is Nageya Ar Brisa over here, that you should hold your hand away from the Blurius. That's a Brisa. It's Gvina is a Mishnah that Gvinas Akum is Osir in Ar Perik. And therefore, Shvachos goes with the category of Blurius and Gvina. And the opposite, Afer Mikla, which is a Shmaitza, is an independent statement by the Meroyim that it's Osir because of a tattoo. That should go together with Shput and Gumas, which are also independent Shmaitzes. So Rashi asks Akasha, why didn't the Gemara say Ikebenayu, not just Shvachos, but Ikebenayu, Shvachos, and Afer Mikla? Because we flip. We take, according to Rav Papa, we take Shvachos from the category of Malkiyah and we put it into Malkiyah, and we take Afer Mikla from the category of Malkiyah and we put it into Malkiyah, according to Rav Papa. So why didn't the Gemara say both are enough? Gemara answers Rashi on the last line of our Amid, that since we just gave at the end, on the last line of the Amid, Simna, Masnita, Malkisa, we gave that Simen. So Memela, on that Simen, which was a Simen for Malkiyah, Rav Malkiyah, is like a queen feminine, so we wanted to give that Nafgemina, which goes into the category of Malkiyah, which is Shvachos, which pertains to a Masnita, to a Mishnah Masech Tiksubis, and we didn't mention a for Mikla, which goes to Rav Malki Yoy.
As we turn to Daf Chavtes Amid Beis, the Mishnah here, and likewise the Mishnah further in this Perek on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, discuss many Inyani Kashrus, many Isurim that we here at OU Kashrus deal with on a daily basis. And this includes Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, Cholav Akum, Gvinas Akum, and Stam Yenum. Our Mishnah concentrates on the Isser primarily of Stam Yenum, although at the end of the Mishnah will discuss Gvinas Akum as well. Let us give a brief hagdama to the Isser of Stam Yenum. There is an Isser Midiraisa to pour wine for an Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara following this long Mishnah will discuss Yayin Minolan. They will look for a source where Yayin Nesach is Aser Min HaTorah. Our Mishnah is discussing an Issur Rabbanan of Stam Yenum, where we do not know that this wine was brought in front of the Avodah Zarah as a Hakrova to the Avodah Zarah. The Rabbanan still prohibited Stam Yenum. What is the reason for this prohibition? So Rashi on the third line on the top tells us the time of the Asr Banam Mishum de Dilma Nashehu. The reason the Rabbanan not only ushered it to be drunken, but it was also ushered in any type of pleasure that is derived from the wine. It is an Isser Hanoah, even though we don't know that it was definitely Nikrav in front of the Avodah Zarah, but we are worried perhaps it was brought in front of the Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Rabbanan made this Isser, and it's Asra Filo Bahanoah. The Rishonim ask, and Tosfos here, the top Tosfos, Yayin Minolan, discusses this question, and that is that this seems to contradict what the Gemara later on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis tells us, that the reason for the Isser of Stam Yenum, the Isser of the Rabbanon,
is because Mishum B'Nisayin. Chazal were afraid of chasnus. They were afraid that the wine would lead to intermarriage. And the answer that many of the Rishonim tell us, and it seems Tosfos is using this approach as well, the answer is that you really need both reasons together. The Ramban further in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis brings from the Rashbam that for Rashi's reason alone, the Rabbana would not have prohibited it because it's only a minority of wine that is used for the Avodah Zarah, and we are prohibiting all wine. And if it was in fact brought for the Avodah Zarah, it is mistavra that the Goy wouldn't want to sell his, quote, holy wine, unquote, to the public. He would want to keep that holy wine for himself. So, therefore, we really needed a different reason for the Gzerah. So the main reason for the Gzerah is Mishum B'Nisayin, because of intermarriage. However, as Tosfos points out, if it would only be Mishum B'Nisayin, then why is Stam Yenam different than Pas Akum, where it's only Aser B'Achila and not Aser B'Hanah, or the Isser that the Mishnah tells us about Shamnam, the oil of an Akum that at one point was Aser. There it's only Aser to digest, it's not Aser B'Hanah. So therefore, we also need Rashi's reason that there's an element of perhaps this was brought as a korban for the Avodah Zarah, a nusach, it was poured in front of the Avodah Zarah, and since Yayin Nesach is not only Aser to be digested, but it's also Aser B'Hanah, so when the Rabbanon made this Isser because of B'Nisayim, because of intermarriage, but since it also involves, as Rashi says, a possibility that it was poured in front of the Avodah Zarah, therefore they gave it the same halacha of Yayin Nesach, where it's not only Usser to drink it, it's also Usser to derive benefit. So you need the two reasons going together. And now let us begin the Mishnah. Eilu Dvorim Shel Oiv D'Kochavim. These are the things of a person who serves idols that are asurin, they're asur mit rabbanon, v'isurin isuran no. The next Mishnah will discuss those items that are only asur b'achila and not by no. This Mishnah is discussing that not only is it asur b'achila or to drink it, but it's also asur to have pleasure from it. The first thing is hayayin, which we've already discussed, the isur of stam yenim. Then v'hachoy mit shalom shahoyo mit chilos hayayin. If you have vinegar that you're getting from a goy, and that vinegar originally was wine, and it turned sour, it turned into vinegar, so that will be asur b'hanah because we're worried, as Rashi says, that while it was wine, it was poured in front of the Avodah Zarah and became Aser B'Hanah, and that Isser would not go off, even though subsequently it became vinegar. However, if a Jew is buying vinegar that he knows that the Goy himself bought that vinegar from, let's say, another Jew, and while it was in the wine state, it was definitely not brought in front of an Avodah Zarah, so Dena and Nechanami, it would not be Aser. So that's why the Mishnah says it has to be Chaymet Shalai V'Chavim Shalai Mitchilasa Yayin, and then it has on it the Isser of Stam Yenam. The next thing that is Aser B'Hanah also is V'Cheres Hadar Yoni, the earthenware, Hadrian earthenware, where the wine was nivlad, was absorbed within the walls of the jug, and then they would soak the jug, this earthenware jug, in water, and then the wine would come out and go into the water. So since it has the wine in it, it also becomes Aser B'Hanah. V'oyreis levuvin, as Rashi explains, the heathens at that time had a very despicable practice of killing an animal and taking out its heart while it was alive. They would make a hole in the skin of the animal, and while it was alive, they would take out the heart. And then they would be makriv the heart for their Avodah Zarah. So this places a prohibition on the skin as well. And when you get a skin and you see that opposite the heart cavity, there was a hole, so it indicates to us that this practice of Avodah Zarah was kept on this animal, and therefore the Aris Levuvin are a Zivchei Mesim. They are considered korbanis for the dead, which is a reference to Avodah Zarah, which has no life to it, and therefore it's Aser B'Hanah as well. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I remember Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it depends what kind of hole you see. B'zman Sheha Keresh Aloy Ogul Aser. If you see, in fact, that it's round, and that was the way that they took out the heart for the Avodah Zarah, then it's asur banoa. But mashach, if it's long, then it's mutter, because that's not the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would make the hole to take out the heart. So they must have made the hole for a different reason, and therefore it does not become asur. This is not considered oiris levuv. Asur hanichnas la'avodis kechav mutter. Meat that was being brought into the house of Avodah Zarah is mutter. The Masoreis HaShas says to look in Rashi further in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and there the Masoreis HaShas tells you that the Rashi you find there, Divrei HaMaskil Basar, is really going on our Mishnah here. And Rashi explains over there that the Jew intercepted the meat. It was destined to go into the house of the Avodah Zarah, but it did not go. Since it did not go in, therefore it remains mutter. But v'hayyotze, but that which comes out, asur. It is like Zivchei Mesim. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So says Rabbi Akiva. The Masoreis HaShas points out that Tosfos further on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Divrei HaMaskil. V'hayoytze tells us, why does the Mishnah here say, why does Rabbi Akiva say Kiz Zivchei Mesim and not Zivchei Mesim? Because we are prohibiting, Tosfos says, even if it was brought. The third wide line on Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, the B'chaticha Shel Basar She'ein Ezevuch Lefnei Aviz Chav Mari, Ela Shemeviya Doron, Nicha Diktani Mibnei Shu, Kizivchei Meisvon Lektani Zivchei Demashma Zevach Mamish. So Tosfos learns that it's speaking about a case where he didn't even bring it as a korban to the Avodah Zarah. It wasn't burnt up in front of the Avodah Zarah. Rather, it was brought as a gift to the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's kizivchei mesim. It wasn't actually a zevach, but it has a loch of zivchei mesim, and therefore it's usher, says Rabbi Akiva. And now the Mishnah is going to discuss two dinim. We've already discussed one din, where there's a difference whether you're going in or out. And now we're going to bring a din not concerning yayin nesach, or stam yena, we're going to bring a din concerning Avodah Zarah, and the reason we bring it is because also it has this inyan of going in and going out, except the reverse. In the halacha before, by basar, we learned if it's going in, it's mutter, if it's coming out, it's asur. And here, in this halacha, it's just the reverse. Ha-holchen l'tarfus, asur losses velosim man. If you're accompanying a goy, and he's going to his Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos explains that the word that we have here, tarfus, is a lushen, which we find by the private part of a woman, base hatarfa, that's the indecent area, and that's the name that we're giving to the Avodah Zarah, because this reflects Yahadus's view of Avodah Zarah, that we give it such a name that it's an indecent thing. Ha-holchen letarfus, if you're accompanying a goy and he is going to the base of the Avodah Zarah, aser lases velases iman, you should not do any business transaction with them when you're going. Rashi gives two reasons. Number one, if he feels he made a good deal, he'll go and be moited to the Avodah Zarah. And a second reason is because he might purchase something from you and then use that for a takrovis to the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's prohibited. However, Vaboyan, if you're accompanying him when he's coming back from his Avodah Zarah, so then mutar, and you could make a transaction, because both of the reasons that we just said do not apply, and therefore it is mutar. So here, once again, there's a chilek whether you're going or coming, but here the din is that going is usur and coming is mutar, and the halacha before it was the reverse, that going was mutar and coming back is usur. But it's linked together here, and therefore the halacha of Avodah Zarah is brought here, even though it should really be brought at the beginning of the Masechta, because it has this in common, that there's a chilek between going or coming. Continues the Mishnah, the leather flasks of people who serve idols, the kanehen, and their earthenware jugs. And what's the case? There is wine of a Jew that is within them. The Jew kept he stored his wine there. And Rashi adds the word lakiyum. He wanted it to last for a longer time. And what Rashi is trying to tell us is that if it's very temporary, it's only for a few hours, then this wine will be mutter. It's speaking about there was a jug that was clean. There was no wine of the goy in it. It was only Jewish wine. If there was a yain of the Avodah Zarah in it, then that wine itself would prohibit the wine of the Jew that was mixed together with it. Here it's speaking about that there was no wine there. However, if it would stay for a longer period of time, which is either overnight or 24 hours, then we have the concept of kavush, that something that stays within another item for a longer period of time, just by staying there, it absorbs the bliya that is in the dofne hakli, that's in the walls of the keli, and that goes into the liquid that's there. So that's why Rashi says it's lakiyam. It is staying there for a longer period of time, and now we have a problem that the tam of the yayin nesa that's absorbed within the walls of the flasks and the jugs, that there could be a problem of kavush, and that could make a problem for the Jewish wine that's in it. So Rav Meir holds, asurin, that wine is prohibited because of the tam. The surin is suranah, divi Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that it becomes even asur banah because it absorbs the stam yenam, or the yayin nesach that was in the walls of the dofne hakli, and that will give the same iser to the Jewish wine, and which will mean it'll be asur banah as well. The Chacham disagree, and they say, Ein isuran isurana. There is no isurana. The Ritva explains the machlokes here between Rav Meir and the Chacham is, do we say the halach of isurana only if it's mamish wine, or do we say it even on a tam, even if it has a taste, a blia of the isur that's coming from the doif nekli? Do you also, do the Chachamim also make this isur of isurana even on the tam as well? That's the machlokes. Continues the Mishnah. Hachartzanim, the grape seeds, vazagim, the peels, which are the waste of the wine after it is pressed out of the grapes. Hachatzanim vazagim shalayv gechavim asurin v'isuran isur hanah. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that this is an isur hanah. This has a din of yain, according to Rav Meir. V'chavim moimrim, it depends. Lach and asurin, as Rashi explains, if it's less than 12 months and they're still moist, so then ein echanami they're asur, and it's taka asur even banah. But yevation, if they're dried up over 12 months, so then it is mutarin, and the Gemara further in Daf Lamed Daled will tell us that then it's even mutar according to Chachamim to eat it, to digest it. Not only banoah, but it's even mutar to digest it. Hamurius, this is fat from a fish, and wine was put into it. Ugvinas base unyaki, and the cheese that comes from this place called base unyaki, which was a place of avodah zarah. So both of these separate halachas, the din is asurin v'isuran isuranah. Divrei Rav Meir, so holds Rav Meir. So by the murias, the fish fats, because there's wine in it, and b'gvinas beis unyaki there, the Gemara will tell us something else is mixed into it. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. V'chamayim ein isuran isuranah, there is no Isser Hano on these two items, and the Gemara will explain exactly what the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is. Am Rav Yehuda, says Rav Yehuda, from the Gemara we just learned, we saw that Gvinas base Unyaki, there Rav Meir held that it's Osir Banah, and the Chachamim disagree, but we can be medayik that the only machlokes is in that special Gvina from that base of Avodah Zarah. It would seem plain Gvinas Akum is not Osir Banah. And in fact, that's the halacha. Gvinas akum is only asur b'chilu, not b'anah. And this is the subject of our next discussion here in the Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Shaul Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua a question. When they were walking on the way, Amar loy. So he said to him, Achi, my brother, the Bach puts in the word, Mipnei ma asur gvinas oivdikom. What, in fact, is the reason that gvinas oivdikom are asur b'chilu? And their mutter bahana amar loy mipnei shemamidunai sabekevish on the veil, because they make it coagulate. They make the milk coagulate into cheese by using the rennet, which is congealed milk in the stomach of a nursing calf. And since they're using a nevela, an animal that wasn't shechted, slaughtered properly, therefore that nevela is absorbed into the cheese, and that's why the cheese is aser amar loy. So Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua. Said Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Yeshua, "V'haloi kevas oila chamur mikevas nevela." The isra of a cave of an oila, where oila is an animal where it has to be totally brought as a korban on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to have hanah from it, and to have hanah from the cave of an oila is worse than a cave of nevela. Cave of nevela, you're over a lav. A cave of an oila is a isra hanah, it's a isra meila. B'shoyi, he has to bring a korban. And yet, Amru, they said that Koyin Shadata Yafa, Koyin who's not repulsed it's not disgusting to him to take this congealed milk in the stomach of the oila, sorfa, he can swallow it down. Rashi says, goyma, he swallows it down, chaya ra, but v'loi hoiduloi. So the Mishnah says that, in fact, the Rabbanim were not moided to this psak that he could use it to kayin. Aval amru, what they said is, einan and v'loi moilin. And Rashi explains, wherever we have this terminology, einan and v'loi moilin, means it's osur mid Rabbanim, he can't have a noah, he's not allowed to swallow it, mid Rabbanim, but me'ilu mid deraisa, if he did swallow it, he would not be over on a din me'ilu mid deraisa. Must be, even though an oil you can't have anor from the whole animal, but you're allowed to have anor from the keva midaraisa. That's a raya, as Rashi says, that it's pir shebalmu. It's just considered a secretion from the oil and not part of the oil. So just like it's not considered part of the oil, and that's why there's no din meila. So hua din, if it's coming from a nevela, it shouldn't be considered part of the nevela, and therefore if you use it to coagulate the milk into cheese, there should not be an isser of givinas akum. That was his question. So Rav Yeshua had to give a different teretz. Amar loy, I'll give you a different reason why it's usser givinas akum. Nay, shema mid. A calf that was used 40 hakrovis avodah zarah, the cave of such a calf. And we know that anything that's also because of avodah zarah is not only an isra chila or shtiya, but it's also an isra noah. That's why gvinas akum will be usher because of egle avodah zarah. But he immediately asked on him, Amar loy. So says Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Yeshua, im kain, lomaloy asur bano. As we just mentioned, if it's something associated with avodah zarah, then it's not only an isra chila, it's an isra noah. If you're telling me the reason of Gvinas Akum is because it was used a cave of an eagle of an avodah zarah, and as Rashi points out there, a cave, even though by nevela we said a cave is not considered part of a nevela, it's pir shebialma, secretion, and not part of the nevela, but by avodah zarah, since the owner is happy that through this cave, his animal it looks fatter, and he's going to bring a fatter, better korban to his avodah zarah, so he's nichale, he's happy with that. So memela, then that keva does have a din of egle avodah zarah of zifchei mesim. But on that, Rav Yishmael says to Rav Yeshua, if that's your reason, so we know that anything associated with avodah zarah is also asur b'ano, and we know that gvinas akum is only asur b'achila, not b'ano. So this can't be the reason of. Egle Avodah Zarah cannot be the reason of Gvinas Akum. So instead of giving him an answer, for some reason, as we'll see in the Gemara, he did not want to give him an answer to his question. He siyah l'davar acher. He switched the topic, and he asked him a question he diverted him to another topic, and he asked him a question. Why he asked him a question, the Gemara is going to discuss further. Amar loy Yishmol, achi Yishmol, my brother. I think I made a mistake when I earlier said the word achi. Here's where the Bach puts in the word achi. Amar lo Yishmol, achi Yishmol, my brother. Heich atah koire. How do you read the following pasuk at the beginning of Shir HaShirim? The beginning of the pasuk in the Perek Aleph pasuk Beis is Yishakeni Minashikus Piyu. Oh, Klal Yisrael is saying, I wish that Hashem would kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Ki toivim doidecha miyayin. Because your love is better than wine. And the question here is the word doidecha or doidach, is it masculine or is it feminine? Hey chatokara, how do you read this pasuk? Do you read a kitoivim doidecha loshen zacher miyayin? And then, as Rashi explains, the pshat in the pasuk will be that Klal Yisrael is speaking to Hashem and saying, Hashem, your love is better than wine. Oy, do we read a kitoivim doidayich miyayin? And then Rashi explains the pshat is that Klal Yisrael is saying to Hashem, oh, that Hashem would kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. For you, Hashem, told me, Klal Yisrael, that your love, feminine, referring not masculine to Hashem, but feminine to Klal Yisrael, is better than wine. How do you learn pshat in the pasuk? Amar loy. So, Rav Yishmol answered Rabbi Yeshua, Ki toivim doidayich. You read it in the feminine. Amar loy ein adavar kein. So Rav Yeshua told him, not true. And I'll bring you a proof. Sharei chaveiro melamed alav. The next pasuk, Perek Aleph pasuk Gimel, L'reich shmanecha toivim. And the pasuk concludes, Alkein alomais avucha. So in the word shemen, we could have the same question. Do we say Shimon Necho or do we say Shimon Naich? Is it masculine or is it feminine? And it has to be, Rashi explains, masculine, because since we conclude, and therefore maidens love you, that would not apply to, if the maidens were speaking to a woman, it must be they're speaking to a Zohar, and must be that Klal Yisrael is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Pasuk Gimel, it's Shimon Necho, referring to the Zohar Hashem, your oil in the masculine, so too in the Pasuk before, Kitoiv and Deidecho, your love is referring to the masculine, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara further will explain that the reason he diverted him to this pasuk is because he was trying to allude to him, and that's how the Gra explains it. He was trying to allude to him that you shouldn't ask questions on the reasons why Chazal prohibited something. Rather, you should accept them out of love. And this pasuk, the Gemara Darshan, will actually have to do with Gzeiros of Chachamim, and they have to be accepted by Klal Yisrael Ba'avo, and not to go in to what the reasons are. But in fact, the Gemara will discuss a number of reasons why Gvinas Akum is in fact Asher Vachila and Mutter Bahanoah.